If you'd like to follow in your Bibles, the text today is from 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 through 39. The sermon title is Fire in the Hole. I have a pastor friend who, if you give him a hard time, he will call you names. Some of them are not sermon suitable, but one of them is very biblical. For he will sometimes call you, O Troubler of Israel. Now, there are variations of that. Sometimes it's, you miserable Troubler of Israel, or you bloody Troubler of Israel. You know, you'll find these words, 1 Kings 17, 17. They're spoken by King Ahab to the prophet Elijah, where he calls him a troubler of Israel, to which Elijah replied, I'm not the troubler, you are, because it is you and your father who have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. In Hebrew, it is pronounced Baal. I'll stick with Baals. That's a little easier to say. The Baals were a Canaanite pagan religion that worshipped a whole host of fertility gods. And the Israelites of the northern kingdom had, through neglect, I guess you could say, come to worship the Lord God and Baal at the same time. As Elijah said, they were limping about on two opinions. We would say they were sitting on the fence. They said, well, the Lord God, he is good, they said. God has kept his promises, but hey, Baal isn't such a bad god, and we really enjoy the fertility rituals, if you know what we mean. So we would rather not choose. We want to have God and Baal. Well, Elijah had no tolerance for it. And so he says, okay, folks, you got to make a choice. If it's the Lord, follow him. If it's Baal, follow him. Decide right now. And no one moved. No one said a word. And Elijah told King Ahab, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pose a little contest between us, okay? Now, over at Mount Carmel, you claim that as your land, and it's not, but we'll let you do that. And to show you how sporting I am, I'm going to give you home field advantage. And so Elijah told the huge assembly that I and I alone am the only prophet left in Israel. Since your lewd and lascivious Queen Jezebel henpecked miserable, dishonorable King Ahab into killing the Lord's prophets. So what do you say? Let's rumble. 450 Baal prophets against me. 450-1. Do you like those odds? And so he ordered that two sacrificial bulls be presented. And he said, since there are more of you than me, you get dibs on the first bull. And so they chose theirs. Elijah had his. He said, now we're going to sacrifice these bulls. You can slice them. You can dice them any way you want. And you put your bull on top of a stack of wood, and I will do the same with mine. You call on your God, I'll call on mine, and whichever God sends fire wins. And Elijah continued, Obadiah over there is going to give the signal to start, and then the Baal prophets, you do whatever it is you're going to do. The use of matches, lighters, or accelerants is expressly prohibited and will result in immediate disqualification and their forfeiture to the Lord. He wins. Good luck, gentlemen. you're going to need it. And so with that, the Baal prophets do their thing. They put the slaughtered bull on top of the wood, and picture 450 of them going around and around the altar. They cartwheeled and they crab walked. They marched and lurched and pranced and danced and jumped and juked and skipped and limped, hobbled and wobbled. And the ones who were too tired to do anything else crept and crawled. But they weren't quiet in all this. No, they bellered and hollered and moaned and groaned and sang and swore and yelped and yodeled and sighed and screamed and crooned and cried. And they carried on and on. But Baal didn't utter a peep. There was not so much as one little spark that fell from the sky. But yet they continued, and Elijah couldn't constrain himself anymore. And so he started to trash talk with the Baal gods. "Cry louder! What's the matter? Does Baal need a hearing aid? Maybe he went on vacation and didn't tell you about it. Maybe he's asleep in his recliner. Maybe Baal is busy meditating and he can't hear you." Now that word meditate is a significant one in the midst of this taunting. It can mean occupied. Your God Baal is occupied. It could mean your God Baal has wandered away. But scholars are leaning more towards the fact that it means your God is relieving himself. Remember, we are trash talking. We are taunting here. Where's your God? Sitting on the toilet reading a magazine? Elijah's mocking was merciless, which only put them in a frenzy. And then they pulled out knives and swords and began cutting themselves and each other. 450 now, remember, blood was everywhere. It gushed. It was an absolute mess. It pooled on the ground. All the Israelites who had come closer to see this match, they had blood all over them. And by midday, the Baal gods, Baal prophets were absolutely spent. In 1 Kings 18:29 sums it up this way: there was no answer, there was no voice, there was no response. Then it was Elijah's turn. And what he did was kind of strange considering the circumstances. Israel was in this incredible drought, and yet he ordered these guys to go get four large jars of water. And when they brought them back, he said, "Douse the wood," which they did. And he said, "Go back and get me four more." And so they did. They doused the wood again. Three times, 12 jars of water over all of the bull and the wood, so much so that it was trickling down the altar. And even more than that, Elijah had a backhoe and he dug a trench around the perimeter of the altar, and the water even filled the trench. And then he decided he was going to rebuild an altar. An altar to the Lord had been built there a long time ago, but it had been destroyed. And so he picked 12 large stones according to the tribes descended from the sons of Jacob. And when the altar was done, he carefully placed the bull and he stacked the wood. And then he offered this prayer: "O Lord, let it be known this day that you and you alone are the God of Israel, that I am your servant and that I have done these things all at your bidding. O Lord, answer me that these people may know that you are God and that you are bringing their hearts back to you." Amen. And no sooner was there a period after the end of Amen than he shouted, "Fire in the hole!" Ka-whoosh! And this shaft of fire bolted out of the sky. It vaporized the bull. It consumed the wood and the stone altar. It licked up the dust and every last drop of water in the trench. And can you imagine the reaction that the people to this short but incredible display? It got me to thinking about not just kids, but sometimes adults and the reactions we have when we see a really great fireworks show. How many of you have seen the movie Coneheads? If you didn't, you're going to see it for the first time. I'm picking this because it maybe comes a little close to portraying what the response of Israel may have been. Let's roll it.
Above the playing field, you will be treated to a display of amateur fireworks courtesy of Beldar Conehead, father of Paramatide's own Connie Conehead.
Careful there, Conehead. Pretty cheap, Conehead.
That would have been fun. People of Israel were stunned. Stunned, senseless. I don't know if their faces were sunburned or not, but all at once they fell to their faces, and in unison they shouted, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God indeed." And Elijah says, "Gather up all the prophets of Baal and take them down to Wadi Kishon." And there, Elijah killed every one of them. The end. Nice ending to the story, isn't it? But I don't want you to get hung up on the ending. Remember, this was a very long time before Jesus came to us and told us a different way to deal with our adversaries and our enemies. And thinking about this brought to mind a conversation that Jesus had with the disciples back in Luke 9. Jesus had sent some messengers on ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare them for his arrival. But when the messengers got there, they didn't receive a welcome wagon welcome, not at all. The Samaritans made it clear that they had no desire to have a visit from Jesus. And the rejection made James and John mad. And you remember what they said? "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and burn them like toast?" And it doesn't say what Jesus said exactly, but it said he rebuked them. And he told them they had no business playing with fire. Not the kind that burns bowls, waterlogged wood, and stoned altars. There's only one kind of fire they needed to be concerned about, and that was the fire that he was preparing them for. The fire that would come upon them at Pentecost, a fire that didn't blast down like Elijah's fire, but came to rest upon them like little dancing flames above their heads. It warmed their hearts and it didn't scorch. It strengthened their resolve but didn't burn. It gave them courage when they had none. It inspired them when they sat like bumps on a log. It gave them power not to hurt or to judge or condemn. No, that Pentecost fire and all the tongues of fire that were distributed upon them were for one purpose, to light the holy fire of love of Jesus that can never be extinguished. You see, holy love won't let us limp around between two opinions like the Israelites. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You either love the one or hate the other. You either serve the one or serve the other. Which is it going to be? Holy love compels us to serve somebody, not just anybody, not materialism, not consumerism, not wealth, not church building, not religion, not religiosity, and not even the American way. We are ignited to serve the Lord God Almighty. And you see, when the people around us sense that kind of love in us and flowing through us, they may not fall on their faces, but they may, just may, to themselves say, the Lord is God. Indeed, I can see it. I want to leave you with a humorous poem called The Angel's Retirement Speech. It's written by Annie Farnsworth, and it gives voice to this veteran angel who is teaching some younger colleagues. The elder angel has learned that modern technology and marvels like the smartphone have made people resistant to miracles. And here is what the elder angel says. My advice to those of you just starting out is don't expect too much and don't try to make a big splash. They're all jaded now with all of that technology, not like the old days when all you had to do was throw your voice on the wind or cry tears through a statue, maybe appear three times in times of great distress, looking your most diaphanous. I love that word. Ariel, you know what she would have said? Diaphanous, cha-ching, we have a winner. And then the angel went on to recommend some tried and true techniques to wow the crowds. I guess what I'm saying is that you just stick with the basics, the stuff that always works, like birthing babies and healing folks that the doctors say cannot be healed. Maybe pull a stalled car off the train tracks at the last second. When things look grim, give them Jesus' face on a potato chip or a tortilla, or maybe a squirrel's nest that becomes at dusk the spitting image of St. Francis in profile. If you want to read that, it's a much longer thing, but it gets you thinking again how jaded we are, how numbed we can become the spirit of Pentecost love and power to work through our lives, to get us off of the fence, to keep us from trying to serve two gods at the same time. And may our prayer be that we receive the fire. Not a kind of fire that leads us to judge or to condemn, but the kind of fire of love that ignites the only kind of life that matters in Jesus Christ. Amen.